Indulge in all your holiday faves this season, knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake. It's your post-holiday recovery kit with 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. And it actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood-packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you can even savor the season and enjoy getting the nutrition you need. There are endless ways to personalize your Ka'Chava, whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee. With every 2 scoops of Ka'Chava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Ka'Chava.com and use code NEWS for 15% off. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.
Kevin Doyle, Group Head of News at Media House. And with Kevin is Joan Burton, former Taoiseach and former leader of the Labour Party. Guys, thank you very much for coming in this morning. Both of you glued to the toy show, should I ask? No? Yeah.
I managed till 11 o'clock, at which point I was starting to drift. I'd eaten the Haribo and I had drank the cans of Coke and was starting to think about the bottle of wine. And I figured maybe it was better to go to bed, Anton, because I knew I was in here with you this morning.
That is the professionalism we rely on you to display, Kevin. Text to say, I love the Late Late Toy Show. Maybe Santa has the list, but I have a 34 and a 32-year-old son, and as adults, I'll be getting them 2 of the toys demonstrated. Another best toy show ever. Keelty has found his happy place. All right. Front of the Irish Times. Gardaí wanted shots to be fired at drones. Kevin, this is interesting, fascinating, worrying. This is the Defence Forces reports indicating that there were drones hanging around the flight path of President Zelensky's plane when he was coming into Dublin, and that the Gardaí were very eager to have the Defence Forces and or Naval Service engage and shoot them down.
There's quite a lot actually going on in this story, Anton, if you try to get it. And at the end of it, I still don't actually know what went on during the week, is the truth, because I think it's slightly worrying that we appear to have the Gardaí and the Defence Forces briefing against each other. So the original story in the last couple of days was that there was no shots fired at these drones because they were too close to land, and you know, the artillery or whatever way that works could land on Dublin. Now it seems that they were quite a distance out at sea, but the Defence Forces chose not to do them. There are anonymous sources on behalf of the Gardaí briefing that they had wanted the Defence Forces to fire at them. The other thing is, we still don't know what the drones were. So there's speculation that Russia could be doing this, but it could also be non-state actors. We don't know. We have zero idea. At one point, it was suggested that they were in Zelensky's flight zone. Now it seems that they were only in his flight path hours after the Ukrainian plane had flown in, that he was already on the ground in Dublin when these drones were spotted. So to be honest...
But reading between the lines, Kevin, if we're talking about something that has the kind of range and operability that lets it be far enough out to sea that you could shoot it down without it landing anywhere near land, that means we are not talking the drone one goes into a shop and buys. This is...
Oh no, these were, from what we know of them, and I wouldn't be an expert in drones now, but there were 5 drones and they all had to be operated by an individual operator. So there was at least 5 people operating them, presumably in cohort. We don't really know where they took off. They could have taken off from a ship out at sea. They could have taken off from land somewhere else and perhaps have very long flying distances. Could they have taken off from the land in Ireland? The truth is, we don't know. It's all very bizarre. And actually, it might be useful if the Defence Minister came out and told us something about it.
Is it also unsettling, Joan?
I think it'll be concerning for a lot of people, and it ought to be, because if you're able to have, a significant number of drones coming down the Irish Sea, which seems to be the way it happened, that they came down the Irish Sea, if you like, in the wake of Zelensky arriving in Ireland. I think the guards should actually come out and perhaps, you know, tell the Doyle or tell the minister in detail what exactly happened, what did they do? Had they any power to do anything? Because certainly if you're inviting state visitors, which we do from time to time, you absolutely need to secure their security. So it's just a bit weird, the whole thing. I wonder how much of it is completely correct. You know, I think we should just, I wouldn't say a full judicial inquiry, but I think there should be a reasonable examination of what happened and share the facts with people.
I remember some time ago I interviewed the man who was the former counterterrorism advisor to the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and he said that when people think about war nowadays, they think about tanks rolling down streets like World War II movies. And he was saying that what actually happens from now on and what you will see from now on is unsourced, unbranded, unidentified drones just appearing and causing either problems or causing death and then disappearing with nobody ever really knowing where they come from. Months later, we get exactly that happening. It goes to the heart of the discussion we've been having ad infinitum for the past while about our own security capacity and investment in defence. Does it again raise the question of whether or not we are putting enough effort into our own defence?
Yeah, and those questions are going to keep getting raised. But the truth is, I think the three of us have just articulated that none of us know what happened last week. We don't understand what happened last week. And so therefore, it's very hard to be tangible about what we should do about it. And the truth is, there are very little votes in defence spending in this country. So I think there are votes in what you pay to our Defence Force members. Certainly, in, if you're a TD or a wannabe TD in the Kildare region, there is a lot of votes in that. But beyond that, is there votes in buying military defences, cyber defences? Not really is the truth, because we can't see it. It's not tangible. We don't really understand it. And we've never really had a conversation in this country about it because we've never felt under that much threat in the last 100 years, say, since independence.
Well, I think at the moment there's been quite a change, if you like, in warfare and defence. Since, you know, what's been happening in Kyiv and happening in the Ukraine. And drone warfare has been, and warfare with people being killed, apartments being razed, all that kind of stuff. That's now a feature of that particular conflict. And it, you know, assuming that the Russians have tremendous capacity, the Ukrainians themselves also have a lot of capacity on the drone front. But if that would be, is the new standard of what can really infiltrate spaces, well, then we need to be equipped to defend ourselves, but we also need to be equipped to take down drones doing that. I mean, bear in mind as well that military stuff now goes over to non-military actors, particularly in places like Africa. So I think it's something that, you know, Ireland ought to raise, and there should just be a lot of explanation and detailed discussion about it.
But it's weird that it hasn't gained that kind of traction in the discourse, because if you look, Kevin, at the HSE cyber attack, we know people died because of that, because of what it did to the capacity to deliver the health, and we know that that was state actor supported, or at least actor supported by the Russian state. We know that we've had Russian spy ships going up and down the Irish Sea and around the North Sea mapping the sea bottom. We now have drones appearing out of nowhere, unidentified, don't know who's controlling them, getting into the airspace of a visiting president who is his country is at war. At what point do you say there's now a line of red flags, maybe we should take this seriously?
Yeah, I think it goes back to your tanks on the lawn thing, though, Anton. And that's a really simplistic explanation for that, but it's not something people can see or imagine. So if you go back to, I suppose, we go back a decade or a little bit more, the post 9/11 era into maybe the early noughties, there were a lot of terrorist attacks and people died. And we saw the news reports of bodies being taken from tube stations in London and elsewhere in different parts of the world. And that for people was very tangible that we needed extra security. We needed to start monitoring people, groups that could be involved in planning these sort of things. This is different. This is the cyber attack that's a computer thing. I don't speak binary language in computer writing, never going to be able to understand that. And I think a lot of people feel the same about that, that that's something they can't wrap their head around.
Well, we have an Irish army which has served very well in terms of the UN and other overseas actions. We've also had, at certain times, very difficult situations in relation to Northern Ireland. thankfully, that now seems to be behind us. So there's a wealth of experience in the Irish Army, but possibly it needs to be upgraded to share with people what's being done by the Irish Defence Forces in terms of current risks and new risks which have emerged and which people know what they're about, know roughly what they're about, but they don't really know that much or what to do about them. And it's just warfare and that kind of thing is just changing now and changing very dramatically, and we should be keeping up with it.
53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106. By the way, the story, we're going to speak to Charlie McGettigan a little bit later on about RTE pulling out of the Eurovision this year because Israel is involved in it. What's your view on that, Kevin?
In one way, I'm like, well, at least that's that dream dead before it starts this year. You know how we're going to win the Rugby World Cup and the Soccer World Cup? At least we don't have to worry about winning Eurovision as well. That'd be an awful lot in one year to take on. I mean, look, I think there is very definitely two sides of the argument. I think RTE have stuck to their principles. This is what they said they would do. And they have done it. And, you know, I read in one of the papers today that it's cost neutral for them. So, it perhaps doesn't cost them a whole lot in terms of advertising or whatever that comes on the back of Eurovision. It's a principle stand, but the truth is the Spain pulling out as one of the big five probably has a far bigger impact on the competition. And there was one.
Does it achieve anything?
I don't think so is the truth. And you know, maybe sometimes you do these things because you think it's the right thing and it doesn't achieve anything. But I mean, there was one of the former people involved with the Israelis Eurovision on radio the other day saying how we haven't had a good song in 25 years. And you're kind of going, kind of teed ourselves up for that one, didn't we? So you're kind of pulling out of a competition that you have no expectation of winning.
Is it the role of the state broadcaster to make those kind of... Is that not the role of government and of the individuals rather than a state-owned broadcaster?
Well, I think it should be. But, I mean, if you bear in mind that we're after having quite a conflict, if you like, well, it's purely a newspaper and media one, about Herzog Park and how, you know, hot people got about that. And yet at the same time, when you look at the history of Herzogs in Ireland, it has been a huge contribution because, you know, if you go back a century, there was a significant, a small but very significant positive Jewish community in Ireland, many of whom were professionals and doctors who served people in places like Dublin and Cork very, very well. And there's a kind of a folk memory of that. So, you know, yes, we're moving into new times, but we also need to do that with some consciousness about, you know, what the past has been like. And I think, you know, reserve respect for people and for the debate.
But I assume what RTE will say is that in the instance of this, that this isn't about like the discussion about Herzog relating to somebody who is long since dead and exhuming both them and their reputation for analysis. This is to do with a current conflict that they cannot be seen to be accepting of.
Well, you know, again, it's a question of whether or not when they were going into this and when they were considering it, they were pretty well aware of what issues were around and which might be questioned. I'd say it's a huge disappointment by people for people in the entertainment business because they really liked it. Not to mention, you know, a lot of listeners who tuned in.
BBC,
but it seems to be gone, whether permanently or just for the time
being.
I don't know.
What are our preconditions? What are the red lines that RTE have established for our return to this competition? Do we know?
That's not clear, and that's I know you've Charlie McGettigan later. I mean, that's the kind of question is at what point does it become okay to come back? Do you have to wait for a two-state solution, a meaningful peace deal that actually goes on and on? Because like, is that realistic in the next year, 2 years, 3 years? I don't know, we could be out with this for a long time.
Two issues that will impact people probably more personally and significantly in the run-up to Christmas. Connor Pope, the consumer affairs correspondent in the Irish Times, has a piece on the net impact of all of the various different price hikes throughout the year. And he's saying that 3 years added together, so from whatever, 2022 through to today, have left families worse off by at least €3,500 annually. And he's detailed the various different hikes. 8% in health insurance, 6% in groceries, more than 1,000 in energy, 70 to 80% hikes in electricity, and 40 to 50 euro on wholesale price of electricity per megawatt hour. $3,500 per household, John. That's fairly extreme.
And I think households are conscious of it, but I think he's really put the numbers on it. And it means really, if you go shopping, as you know, it says in the headline, with 100 euros, you'll be getting 20 euros worth of value that in terms of what it would have cost you last year. So it's an enormous hike. And, I'm not sure that the government...
It's enormously impactful on those who are on the lower end of it. Yeah, if you have disposable income, it doesn't matter. If you don't, it does.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm not sure that the government has any actual policy on price inflation. And this is all about price inflation. Now, we're major importers of goods, particularly for groceries and that. But nonetheless, it doesn't give the government a kind of free walk away and say nothing to do with us lads. Because you're really looking, particularly, let's talk about people who are retired and on pensions. How far is their money for Christmas going to stretch now with the increase in costs? Are they going to be able to buy the treats that they normally would, you know, buy for the Christmas period? So I think it's a very serious issue with people. It may be that the government is kind of resting on its laurels at the moment because it's 2 to 4 years away to another election, and maybe they just feel this Christmas will pass and no one will notice the prices.
Is there much they
but
can
I
do?
I hear
though,
a lot of chatting about the prices
with the independence of the central bank and with the so many of the levers that the central bank could once pull now being centrally controlled from Europe. Is there much in the way that government can do to change the kind of inflationary pressures in the country?
Well, I think the ministers who have a role in relation to prices or where prices affect their particular ministries, they should certainly at least be talking to each other, sitting down and saying, look, we want to be a value for money country. You know, people are being fleeced when they go shopping, and just be honest about it, get down and do something about it. Otherwise, what you're going to see, very large demands to pay these prices in terms of wages. So, you know, I think the government are kind of floating a bit. They need to start thinking about this, maybe bring in the social partners, talk about what the cost of living is really like. I'm not even going to talk about the cost of buying a house, because that's in a kind of special category of its own. But, you know, we can't really tolerate for a long period of time a kind of rising inflation allied to, you know, younger people who are getting into relationships not being able to think about being able to buy a house or to rent a house at a reasonable price. I mean, the fact is, if you're going to rent a nice house, you're going to pay more than you would pay for buying the same house, say, a year or two ago.
When you say the government is floating a bit, what do you mean?
Well, you know, I don't think they're terribly engaged with price costs. I think it's possibly just hit them. So maybe they'll be all sitting down today reading the papers and saying, talking to spouses and children and saying, what's the cost of living like for you?
I've heard the Taoiseach and others in government give quite a few times when this debate comes up is inflation is falling. Now, that's a contradiction. Inflation cannot fall. So if inflation is only now at 2 or 3% and it was at 6 or 7%, it's still inflation.
We are inflating at a lesser rate than we were previously.
Yes, but they constantly are saying inflation is falling, so it's getting better. And that's just not true.
Yeah, it's like saying you're getting poor, but you're getting poorer more slowly.
Happy Christmas to all. In front of your paper today, Kevin, two very interesting stories. One of them, hugely, finally, Donald Trump has gotten the Peace Prize that we've all known that he's deserved for a long time. Not the Nobel. This is the FIFA.
The FIFA Peace Prize. And my goodness, did they make a show out of it.
The world-renowned FIFA Peace Prize.
I mean, you were doing a review there, Anton, of the toy show. You really should have given that 15 minutes over to reviewing the Trump show, because it was epic. And actually, Conor McKeown in the Indo has a great description of it. Part Eurovision, part WrestleMania, part naked political propaganda broadcast. They managed to turn the World Cup, the soccer tournament that we all love every 4 years, into... And we all know FIFA have been a holy show for a very long time, but they have turned it into a new level of, they have inflated it beyond what any of us could ever expect, to the point where the boss of FIFA is now saying that this World Cup will be the greatest event mankind will ever see. Mankind will ever see. Now write that down.
Back in its box.
2026 will be the peak of world history.
But
that's
look, this is just toadying to Trump. And he likes people to toady
to him.
They're
doing it very well.
He gets very happy and he stops being, you know, an issue. So they're possibly delighted with themselves. I think they're wrong.
Oh, they are, Joan. They're definitely delighted with themselves.
Beside that, then, is an interesting one. You were talking about the possible unseemly nature of squabbling between the Gardaí and the Defence Forces on the front of the Irish Times. More unseemly stuff from state bodies in the front of the Irish Independent. There's definitely trouble at Mill in DAA.
Yeah, there is. And we know, obviously, Kenny Jacobs, the chief executive there, there are questions about the future of his position. He seems to want to stay. Others seem to want him gone.
And there was a board deal done, apparently, and then
it hasn't been signed off on by the minister. Oh. So it's all very, very murky. But the latest thing to emerge is that the directors on the operator of Dublin Airport, the DAA, the board has paid between them €205,000 last year, so they all get it wouldn't be like a salary for a job. This isn't a full-time job thing. But it's now that they've racked up €64,000 in benefits. Now, those benefits are things like they get access to the Platinum VIP private terminal in Dublin Airport. I have never been there, Anton. I don't know, maybe Joan was tarnished it. Perhaps she got to use it once or twice.
So I don't remember a platinum terminal anyway.
You only had gold membership, did you, Joan?
I think I would have noticed.
But that gets you things like a chauffeur-driven car to your plane. You obviously get a different security regime, all the rest of it. But the extra twist on the story, because maybe some people will go, well, like if you're on the board of the airport and you can't use the fast lane, what's the point in being on the board? But the DAA have actually paid the benefit in kind for that. So people who get a gym membership or health insurance from their employers.
Oh yeah, because you're receiving a service of a set value, therefore there is tax due.
Yeah, so the rule of revenue is that basically if your employer is paying €1,000 for you to have health insurance, well that's a benefit and it should be considered like them giving you cash. So you pay benefit in kind tax on that and it comes out of it. But in this, a nice little deal, the DAA will actually pay the tax for you as well.
Now, I suppose the wider issue is, what does this say about relations generally at a high level within that particular state-owned company? Because an awful lot of information that negatively portrays senior executives and board is emerging this weather.
Yeah, there are details even have come out about how many times certain people used these services and things going through the airport. Like John Mulligan, who wrote the story, covered lots of aviation things. I can honestly say I haven't a clue of who any of the sources are in an Anton. But you're right. It kind of goes back to this idea of who's briefing against who. And there's clearly bad things going on in the background, which is not conducive to good business.
Well, there also seems to be a row going on about the CEO, and somebody has been, let's say, leaking and talking about all of the stuff that they see happening, and that may be a collection of people who are present in the airport and they're just fed up.
And let's be clear, there's no inference, no implication suggesting that the CEO is the source of any of that and what John saying, merely that there is clearly an awful lot of information emerging at a high level from various different sources within the DAA. Joan, thank you. Joan Burton, former Thonishden leader of the Labour Party. Likewise, Kevin Doyle, head of news at Media House. Kevin, don't forget the last half hour or so of the Toy Show is available on the player. You can watch it this
afternoon.
Do you still have a VHS player?
No, the telly does that for you. You can still tape things on the telly.
Modern technology is amazing.
I put up my Christmas tree yesterday, and at the end of that, I felt, well, I'm just really entitled to a glass of wine.
Wise woman, back after this
and
break.
Nothing else.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Indulge in holiday cravings with the nutrition you need from Kachava's all-in-one whole body shake. It's 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. Savor the season knowing you're getting the good stuff your body craves. With Kachava, you're getting the highest quality ingredients. No fillers, no nonsense. Holiday nutrition has never been this easy or delicious. Go to Kachava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS for 15% off.